people like myself who have experienced firsthand the tyranny of dictatorship and false elections and thorough fraud. Only those of us who have seen that can understand what an incredible privilege it is to be able to go and choose and exercise that wonderful privilege. And those who have voted their choice. The choice of two philosophies, the choice of two different policies, the choice of different directions for the country, two different ideologies. Freedom of choice is deeply rooted in the Christian faith. Freedom of choice is the hallmark of biblical Christianity. And that is why we need to do all that it takes to keep protecting it, lest God forbid we end up be like the other nations. And I believe with all my heart that the Bible from cover to cover is teaching about choice and the consequences of the choices that we make. In the beginning in the Garden of Eden, God gave Adam and Eve a choice for life, a choice for death. They chose death. The people of Israel were given a choice to stay in Egypt, in the land of slavery, or to go to the promised land and experience freedom. Elijah, the great prophet of God, stood up at the time of compromise, at the time when the people of God were living for themselves, caring for themselves, and gave not a hoot for God. And he challenged them, saying, "Choose ye this day whom you shall worship, God or Baal." You can't worship both. And for the past 2,000 years, the whole of world history has been built upon a choice. Either you choose Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross and the consequences of which living with him in heaven for eternity, or deny him, ignore him, or out and out reject him and then spend your eternity, that means forever and ever, in hell and damnation and suffering. Listen to me very carefully, please. God does not send anybody to hell. People choose to go there. And yet today, in this environment of sentimentality and soft-headedness, we don't want to face these two choices. A large number of people think that they can live like the devil all week and then become angels on Sunday. A large number of our society somehow think that we can live any which way we can, live for ourselves, think of ourselves, feed ourselves, ignore God, and somehow when we die, we're going to make it to heaven. But isn't that exactly what modern churchianity has been telling us that we can do? Which is totally contrary to biblical teaching. I want you to turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 6. And you're going to see there how Jesus makes the question of choice so plain and so clear. You can't miss it. In fact, there are four choices. Listen to them very carefully. Mark them in your Bible. In verses 19 to 21 of Matthew 6, Jesus gives us a choice between two investment institutions, heaven or earth. In verses 22 and 23, there is a choice between vision and blindness. It's your choice. Thirdly, verse 24, Jesus gives us a choice between two masters, mammon or God. And fourthly, verses 25 to 34, there is a choice regarding where your ambition is centered. Listen carefully to number one, the first choice, the investment of your money. Now, I want you to hear me right and hear me very carefully, because this passage has been misunderstood through the years. Jesus is not saying that there's anything wrong with making money. Jesus is not saying there's anything wrong with owning property. He is not saying there's any wrong with saving for the future. Jesus is saying there's nothing wrong with buying insurance policy. I know some people have problem with that. In fact, in Matthew 25, 22, Jesus commend good business practices. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6, 7, and 8, it commends the ant. It presented to us as a model for a good worker who prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. In the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy 5, 8, the Bible tells us that those who do not provide for their family are worse than infidels. And the Apostle Paul tells the Thessalonians that those who are able to work and refuse to work should not eat. I believe with all my heart that ought to be hanging on the wall of the welfare department. So the question is, which investment firm are you choosing to put your money in? The choice that Jesus gives us is very clear. He said, the earthly investment firm of hoarding it, of selfishly spending it on myself, is treacherous. He is telling me that the earthly investment firm is risky, that the earthly investment firm is unsafe, that the earthly investment firm will lead you to a trap, is going to lead you to a snare. You notice he said that where your treasure is, there is your heart also. I know there's some people who twist that and say, where your heart is, there is your treasure. I said, where did he get that from? That's not what Jesus said. He didn't say that at all. Please hear me right. Jesus is not talking about sensitive and wise financial planning. He's not talking about that. He is talking about the miser who's forever hoarding and hoarding and accumulating and more and more and more and never satisfied, never contented, only to spend it on themselves, only to accumulate it so their ego be inflated about their net worth. That's what Jesus is talking about. Some time ago, I heard about the man who said that misers are not fun to live with, but they make great ancestors. And how true it is. But I want to tell you, even if you manage to keep your money from being lost, you're going to die and you're going to leave it behind. And your ancestors are going to come along and blow it away. But when you make your major deposits in the heavenly investment firm, saying Jesus, both your capital and your interest are going to be waiting for you on the other side of eternity. And if you are not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me, I want to tell you something. If you are not born again, if you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you have not committed your life to Him, I want to tell you a couple of things. Listen carefully. God wants you before He wants what's yours. God wants to save your soul before He wants your money. And Jesus here is speaking to His disciples. They're already saved. They already know Jesus. They already have a relationship with Him. And He's saying to them, what a believer does for the kingdom of God will have everlasting dividends. Please hear me right. I am all for good education. I strive to the highest level. I am all for good music and good art. I am all for good health and nutrition. I'm trying hard. But listen. These are all wonderful things. But I want to tell you the very crux of this passage is so clear. Only what is done for Jesus Christ and His kingdom will be awaiting you on the other side of eternity. Secondly, Jesus gives us a choice of vision. Verse 22 and 23. A choice between light and darkness. A choice between blindness and sight. What Jesus is saying, that hoarding up treasures for yourself, hoarding up treasures for your selfish uses, plunges you into darkness. That's what it does. On the other hand, investing in the kingdom of God will give you a vision for life. It's going to give you a purpose for life. It's going to invigorate you to understand what life is all about. If you have physical vision, you can look and you can see where you're going. And it works the same way spiritually. When your spiritual vision is in the right perspective, when your spiritual vision is properly adjusted, then your life is filled with purpose and drive. But if your vision becomes clouded, if it becomes clouded by false gods, if it becomes clouded with false values and the world's values, then you will not have a clue what life is all about, even if you think you do. You really don't. Covetousness and greed are sure ingredients to blind you to what is really important in life. Think about it. Laying up treasures in heaven not only has eternal durability, Jesus is saying, but it will also give you a vision for this life. It will give you a vision on the earth as long as you're alive. And then thirdly, verse 24, Jesus said that we have a choice between two masters. You know that God made us to be owned by somebody else? This is the way He made us. I don't care how much you try to get around it. This is the way He made us. You know, I have to really smile sometimes when somebody says to me, you know, I'm the master of my destiny. I'm the captain of my ship. I said, well, wait a minute, Bubba, because I want to tell you something. You have a master, you just haven't met him yet. And what they're telling me is that old Nick has got them by the throat. And they just don't know it. Please hear me clearly. I want to tell you with great pride and with great joy, I want to declare to you in the world that I am a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm proud of my master. Amen. Bless the Lord. None of us can serve two masters, said Jesus. He said, behind your choice of an investment firm, that is behind your choice of a vision and purpose for life, there is a basic choice, and the choice is between two masters, no third. There is no third. It's a choice between God or mammon, which is Satan's hook. Mammon is just an Aramaic word that really means hoarded wealth. It's a choice between the creator and the creation. And Jesus is saying, you cannot be on both sides of the issue. And anyone who says that they have divided allegiance between God and mammon has already given his or her allegiance to mammon. Because God doesn't like to have anybody else around him. God is the kind of master who wants exclusive devotion. God is the kind of master who wants total allegiance. God is the kind of master who wants full attention. Listen to what he said. I am the Lord, that is my name, and I will give my glory to no other. I want you to look at the choices for what they are. Look at them in the script. Look in your Bible. It's a choice between creator and creature. It's a choice between glorious personal God and a green piece of paper which you call money. It is a choice between worship and idolatry. That's the choice that we have. Surely there is no contest. So it's not only a choice of durability. It is not only a choice of intrinsic benefit. It is also a choice of an intrinsic worth. And that brings me to the fourth point, verses 25 all the way to 34. I was going to preach from that verse, 24 to 34, and I looked over it, and I looked over it, and I kept looking at that word. Look at it in your Bible, verse 25, therefore. I said, I've been teaching people all over the world, when you see the word therefore, find out why it is therefore. But I was going to make the mistake in preaching this passage out of context. Because what you have here is a pyramid. It's a step. One step lead to the other. One step lead to the other. And you come at the pinnacle right here in verses 25 all the way to 34. Mark it in your Bible. And Jesus said there is a choice between two set of ambitions. But he couldn't tell them, don't worry about what you eat and what you drink out of the blue. He had to tell them all of this and then come to this. In the sense, he's saying, only when you comprehend the choice between what is durable and what is fleeting, only when you comprehend the choice between blindness and vision, only when you comprehend the choice between two masters, God and mammon, only then will you be able to live a worry, anxiety-free life. In the sense, what Jesus is saying is that when you are unable to say, I choose to put my investments in the heavenly bank, when you're able to say, I choose an enlightened vision, therefore, you can say, I live a worry-free life. Why? Because of my basic choice of what master I intended to serve, my attitude, my ambition in life is going to follow. At this point of life, once you've done all the three choices, the first three choices, you are not anxious about money. Why are you not anxious about money? Why are you not anxious about the future of your children? Why are you not anxious about these things? I'll tell you why. Here's what Jesus said. Because you have already rejected money as master. Because you have already made a decision. You're going to be the master of money. The money's not going to master you. Because you have already made God to be your master. Therefore, what concerns him concerns you. What breaks his heart breaks your heart. What is his purpose for your life becomes the purpose for your life. What is his will for you becomes your will for you. And what Jesus is saying here actually simplifies and reduces all the possible life goals into two. Listen carefully, I'm getting close. He's telling his followers that if you have chosen the heavenly bank, that if you have chosen vision over blindness, that if you have chosen God for your master, then you don't have a reason in the world to worry. That's what therefore is therefore. That you don't have to worry or be anxious about the needs of life. Why? Because God has already made provision for them. He's already taken care of them. Before you even were born, He has taken care of them. What Jesus is saying here is this. Hear me right. He's saying, don't become obsessed. Don't get engrossed with your material needs. Don't let your material needs become your preoccupation. Here's what Dr. Robert Elliott said. He said, there are two rules about controlling worry in your life. Now, I'm sure all of you are ready to hear those. He said, I want to control that. I'm a worry wart. Most people don't say that. They say, my spouse is a worry wart. Rule number one, don't sweat the small stuff. Rule number two, it's all small stuff. In fact, I heard about the exasperated husband who's exasperated with his wife about her worry, and he said, why are you always worrying? It doesn't do any good anyway. She piped up and she said, oh, yes, it does. 90% of the things I worry about never happen. Some studies have broken down worries as follows. Listen carefully, please. 40% of all the worry never happens. 30% are things about that happened in the past that you can't correct or change. 12% are needless worry about health. 10% are petty miscellaneous worries. 8% are real legitimate worry. In the light of what Jesus is saying here, because you have chosen your heavenly bank, because you have chosen God's vision to be your vision, because you have chosen God to be your master, therefore you shouldn't even worry about those 8%. Why? Because worry is the sin of distrusting God's promise of provision. Did you hear that? In fact, the word worry comes from the German word which means to strangle or to choke. And that's exactly what worry does. It's a kind of mental and emotional strangulation which probably causes more mental and physical affliction than any other cause that I see in my ministry. The substance of worry, nearly always extremely small compared with the size it forms in our minds, to say nothing of the damage that it causes to our lives. Worry is the opposite of contentment. And contentment ought to be the state of the mind of the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who have placed their treasures in heaven. Those who have chosen God for their master. Those who have been enlightened by God's vision. You know, when you realize that God owns everything, God controls everything, and God provides everything, you'll experience contentment. And you know what you need to do is to remind yourself of that constantly. Jesus, in effect, is saying that really when you give in to worry, when you give in to anxiety, you have forgotten who your daddy is. I want to conclude by telling you a story. Because I really believe that ultimately it all boils down to a choice. A choice. Being prepared for the consequences of our choices. Story of a wise man who constantly giving people good advice, wise advice. Answers to difficult questions in life. And one day, a young, arrogant man sought to stump the old sage. And he put a bird between his hands and covered it up. And he walked up to the wise old man and he said to him, sir, is the bird in my hand alive or dead? His plan of deception, of course, was very simple. If the wise senior said it was dead, he will open his hands and the bird will fly. Will be alive. But if he said it was alive, he will give a quick squeeze to his hand and kill the bird and said it's dead. Surprisingly, though, the old man never looked at the younger man's hand. He looked into his eyes and quickly said to him, he said, my son, the bird is whatever you wish it to be. And it's so with every one of us today. The life we live is the one we wish to live it. We choose to live it. God's way or some other way. The choice is in our hands. Is it hoarding and accumulation and therefore worry and anxiety? Or is it open-handedness and investing in God's kingdom, therefore peace and contentment?
Dr. Michael Youssef with an incredible